Blog Talk Radio.
With the number one overall selection. How does an undrafted prospect turn into a Hall of Famer? Around if you put on desire. Small school. Big school. You have to be the best to get paid.
Another edition of the College to Pro Players Platform Show. Tonight we're doing it full NFL mock draft style with the NFL guru himself, Justin Van Vulpen. If you folks missed some of our earlier installments, we did a couple of these mock drafts. We did one from 1 to 16. We did another from 17-32. And live from the scouting combine, we did a full mock draft down there. And now we're bringing you the post-free agency 2018 NFL mock draft. But as promised, the NFL draft guru, the analyst, Justin Van Vulpen. Justin, we appreciate you sharing your time. How's the day treating you so far, my man?
Hey, it's good. I mean, we're mixing the pro days. You know, that's first I got to comment. That's a dope opening, you know. So I'm loving that already as we roll into this mock draft. You know, I mean, it says pro days. We had Sam Darnold's pro day, you know, yesterday, pretty much. You know, I think it's sealed, you know, him going number one overall to Cleveland Browns. Jimmy Haslam, the owner, was down there in the stands with his mom and dad, you know. So, I mean, you know, showing, hey, come to Cleveland. I know you're not too far from Cleveland. You know, it's definitely different weather than in Southern Cal. But it did rain there yesterday, and he balled out, showed that, hey, it doesn't matter what type of weather that he can play in at all. And that's good for Cleveland Browns fans, as we know here, like we were talking off the air, you know, January, February, it's cold, it's rainy, it's snowy. You need a quarterback who can, you know, basically do everything in all elements.
Definitely. And, yeah, fantastic Jay for Sam Donald. The thing I admired yesterday for him is, you know, I mean, he has the, you know, ability, the, you know, the power, if you will, to say, you know what, maybe change his pro day. But he stuck to it because he knew all the scouts were coming in. That also was a benefit to his teammates because, I mean, he could have chose to work out on a different day. Nonetheless, the scouts would have showed, but it just would have made it a little bit more trickier for everybody. Justin, so you're the guest. You're the man. I assume that Sam Darnold is going to be the number one pick for the Browns?
Yeah. We talked earlier when we went Saquon Barkley, and really, you know, I mean, that was kind of, you know, if I'm running the show and different things like that, but I really think, you know, I think yesterday supplanted all the, you know, people I talked to, you know, and listening to and reading, and everybody says Darnold's locked, you know, basically the Giants are now on the clock, you know, there. So why not we go ahead and say Sam Darnold, number one overall to the Cleveland Browns? Cause we all think that's what's going to happen in the real draft.
Yeah, might as well. Like I said, and I felt the same as you prior to, or at least on our previous show, you know, I thought Barkley would be the number one guy and then they would do other things at quarterback. I really thought A.J. McCarron would end up there. And I thought they would do some different things from an organizational standpoint. But obviously they bring in Tyrod Taylor, and then they, you know, they're able to kind of say, hey, you know what, we're going to promise you the job in 2018, which I would still hold with a grain of salt because I've heard Hugh Jackson promise lots of things through his career so far in Cleveland, and sometimes those backfire on him. So that was a big, bold statement, but nonetheless, he made it. But again, I think as we approach with, you know, nearly a month to go, he's 26th, I think, lock, bar, hold, I think Sam Darnold is going to be the number one pick to the Cleveland Browns. That leaves me with the New York Giants. You know, now it's kind of interesting, Justin. I think when you look at these teams, I mean, you know, the Giants, there might be some other players. You know, I know the Bills are eager to move up for their quarterback. I know the Jets already made that move. So it's interesting to see what the Giants do. I mean, they could have the ability to drop down. We know they traded Jason Pierre-Paul today. to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that maybe brings Bradley Chubb from North Carolina State back into the mix. Do they feel confident enough with Eli Manning for the next couple of years? They brought in Nate Solder, free agency day one, to, you know, replenish an awful offensive line. So they do a Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame, the guard. So when I look at this pick, or you could say a lousy run game with Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, there's so many possibilities with this pick. I would hate to be the New York Giants front office having to kind of deal with singling out all the talents. But since I'm at this pick, the New York Giants, second on the clock in our post-free agency NFL mock draft, I'm going to have them go, excuse me, with Josh Rosen. It goes with against everything that I think they'll do. It does. It goes against every single thing that I think this team's going to do, Justin. But the more I think that this is what teams do, I never make a selection right. So I'm going to start going against that. I'm almost doing George Costanza in the Seinfeld show when he went opposite. Ham and rye? No, you know what? I want the corned beef on rye. So I'm going to change everything. So even though I think they're going to go some different directions, I'm going to give him Josh Rosen from UCLA.
Well, I think it's a great pick. I think Josh Rosen could also maybe be the number two pick, maybe to an Arizona or to a Buffalo or something like that. You know, I think, like you said, I think, you know, the Giants picks, I think, in play to be able to trade down, you know, there. So I think Josh Rosen going there. And then now we're with the New York Jets there, you know, with the third overall pick. They moved up last Saturday, you know, and they're not just moving up to, you know, get Quentin Nelson, the guard from Notre Dame. They're getting up. They basically said, hey, we had a plan A. Our plan A was to go get Kirk Cousins. They didn't get Kirk Cousins in free agency. Their plan B was to sign some bridge quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, Josh McCown. And then now they want to go, you know, draft it. I think they were hoping that, you know, one of the guys, the Pac-12 quarterbacks would be there. But since they're not, the question is, do they take Baker Mayfield or they take Josh Allen? Josh Allen's pro day's tomorrow. I think they're going to fall in love with Josh Allen's arm strength and ability and not, hey, you know, Broadway Baker. You know, so I think they're going to go Josh Allen to the New York Jets, and we're going to have three quarterbacks going, you know, 1, 2, 3, just like we had 1999 when Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith went 1, 2, 3 in the draft. And we're going to see that happen this April here in a couple of weeks.
And hopefully for the benefit of these three youngsters about to enter their NFL career, that all three turn out better than, you know, the three. I mean, McNabb had a great career, but obviously Akili and Tim Couch, not the best of luck when they turned pro for the Browns and Bengals. So hopefully it's a different set of circumstances for these organizations and the quarterbacks that are going to be selected. So we got Darnold 1, Rosen 2, Josh Allen 3. That puts the Cleveland Browns back on the clock. I inherit this pick now, so I'm the mastermind of this franchise. Again, I'm looking at all the possibilities, Justin. I mean, Barkley, again, Nelson, and then I'm looking at Chubb. And I think, man, Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb would be a great pair of bookends for the next decade. I mean, that would be a kind of a fearsome duo. That I think offensive line help. Joe Thomas retires. And then you look at Saquon Barkley, but then we got Carlos Hyde signed on day one. So, again, I'm in a dilemma here. I'm not going to lie. But with all that
said, they paid $6 million
to
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, and that's decent money. I mean, it was, you know, second most behind, you know, Jared McKinnon, who went to the 49ers. So that's not exactly something to shake a stick at. But with that said, and maybe to the disgust of Browns fans, and again, I don't think they're going to do it, but I'm going to go all these different ways. I'm going to go with Bradley Chubb. I just think that the defense, what he brings to the table, I think they felt during the offseason free agency, you know, they have Josh Gordon recording, Corey Coleman. They make the trade for Jarvis Landry. They bring in Carlos Hyde, Tyrod Taylor. So I think, you know what? They got Sam Darnold with the number one pick. Let's address the defense with arguably the best talent on the defensive side as a defensive end, and that's the NC State defensive end, Bradley Chubb, to the Browns with the fourth pick.
Yeah, they make a great bookend, you know. I mean, with Garrett, I mean that would be the, you know. And again, I could see them doing that, you know, with people, you know, talking about, hey, Saquon Barkley could have been a number one overall pick, and now he slides down here. So, you know, I think the Denver Broncos there at the fifth pick, they wanted one of these quarterbacks. I don't think they're in love with the Baker Mayfield like they were with, you know, the West Coast quarterbacks and, you know, Josh Allen. So what I think that they do is you know, they like Chubb, you know, they also could go Denzel Ward, the cornerback, to basically replace Keep Talib, who they traded to the L.A. Rams. But I think they say, hey, Saquon Barkley is a once-in-a-generation running back. You know, we got our kind of our quarterback there. Let's give him, you know, a talented running back. And I think they shake it up and they go ahead and they take Saquon Barkley, probably the best overall player in this draft, with the 5th overall pick.
Justin, you broke my heart. When you started to talk about some of the guys you mentioned, I'm like, man, he's going to allow Chris Ballard and the Colts to grab Saquon Barkley, and they're going to do cartwheels. But you pulled the fast one, and you took him right off the board, the Penn State All-Pro running back, or I should say All-American running back, Saquon Barkley. Justin takes him to John Elway's team, the Denver Broncos. So we got Darnold 1, Rosen 2, Allen 3, Bradley Chubb 4, Saquon Barkley, the great Nittany Lion, at 5 to the Denver Broncos. And that leaves us with the Colts, who dropped tremendous trade with the Jets, where they picked up a pair of 2s and another 2 in 2019. So they did themselves a world of good by dropping down a few selections. I look at this team. This is a strange pick for me because, you know, I think they would have really coveted the idea of getting Bradley Chubb. I think they would have coveted the idea of getting Saquon Barkley. Now I just kind of go in the mindset that, you know what, Quentin Nelson is considered, you know, arguably one of the top prospects in this entire draft, and they do need help everywhere, especially defensively. So, you know, they're going to be passing on the types of, you know, Micah Fitzpatrick from Alabama. They're going to be passing on Daron Payne, Alabama D tackle. But I think they're going to go offensively interior with Quentin Nelson of Notre Dame. Hopefully he pans out to be the guy he's projected to be. And then again, that position basically doesn't need to be addressed for probably nearly a decade. And at least leaves Andrew Luck a little bit closer to being safe up front. With that said, Justin, we move to the 7th pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who acquired Jason Pierre-Paul today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, they go ahead and help their defense there and get Minkah Fitzpatrick, the defensive back from Alabama, who could play, you know, nickel corner, can play safety. He's a great blitzer, just an all-around good defensive player to kind of help them reshape that defense there. And they get maybe the best defensive player in the draft, you know, besides Bradley Chubb there with the 7th pick. I think they'd be happy to be able to get him there.
Yeah, that's a great selection. And, you know, and you think of his talent, that's, I think, you know, maybe it's Justin. I don't know if it's because there's not one guy. I mean, I guess there maybe is a few guys, but it just seems like there's a lot of guys you could argue who could be the number one pick in this particular draft. I mean, you could say Rosen. Some people think Nelson. Some people say Barkley. Some people say Chubb or even, a Micah Fitzpatrick. I mean, some people say even a Derwin James. I mean, you know, it's mm-hmm. kind of a wide open spot. There's just a lot of talented kids, and maybe they're not the epic type guys that we're used to seeing, maybe an Andrew Luck or maybe a Cam Newton type guy that, you know, it's just iconically, you know, strong at that number one spot. But, you know, this particular class, it just seems like there's a lot of depth in terms of guys being able to kind of be called the guy, if you will. And that leaves us with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers taking Minkah Fitzpatrick, the Alabama versatile safety DB, very talented kid. And now the Chicago Bears are on the board. And, you know, I think some of our previous mock drafts, we had them addressing receiver, but they go out and they bring in Allen Robinson via free agency from the Jacksonville Jaguars. They had some other pieces in Taylor Gabriel offensively. So now I'm thinking this team is going defense. And, you know, I have had him kind of lower on most of our mock drafts, but I think he's kind of caught fire as of late. And I think they're going to go with a guy like Daron Payne from Alabama. I thought he had a fantastic pro day as well as a combine. And I think he's the type of guy that can be a kind of a force up front. And I know he's a little bit of a push, but I'm high on him now. Like I said, I had him going in the late teens from previous drafts, but I'm kind of moving him up my boards. I just think he's a guy. And it just seems, Justin, on draft night, it just seems like these big men from both sides of the football always kind of take precedent over these skilled position guys. And, you know, it's fun to Yeah, you know what I mean? And you're thinking, oh, I want Saquon Barkley. And they take Quentin Nelson. It's just, it helps the team. And you're going to love the results on Sunday. But that initial reaction is just not the, oh, man, you know, this is great for my fantasy football team. Or this is the guy I get to see carry the ball because I'm not going to really see him as much. But I'm going to go Daron Payne. the D tackle from the Bears, and that slots you, Justin, with the 49ers picking ninth overall.
Yeah, and there's two guys, and I thought you were going to go Denzel Ward for the Bears, even though they re-signed Kendall Fuller there. So it's between Denzel Ward and Tremaine Edmonds. You know, the 49ers, I think, go defense. Obviously, they paid a bunch of money for Jimmy Garoppolo, there. So I think even though they signed Richard Sherman in the offseason to basically, you know, a deal which, hey, he's still got an Achilles issue and different things like that, they go ahead and they take Denzel Ward, the cornerback from Ohio State, to really kind of lock, be one of that lockdown corners. And then, hey, if Richard Sherman comes and, you know, now they've got just a great, you know, tandem there at the cornerback position. You could never have enough good cornerbacks. So I think John Lynch goes ahead and goes defense, and he knows a little bit about the secondary, you know, being a potential Hall of Fame player. So I think John Lynch goes Denzel Ward.
That's it. And when I look at Minkah Fitzpatrick and I think of Ward, I mean, I think Minkah has the versatility more of a safety cornerback. You can kind of use him in a variety of ways. But when I look at Ward as a pure corner, cover corner type guy, I like his skills a little bit better. I don't know where you come across with that. Do you feel the same, or do you think Minkah is still heads and shoulders above Ward?
I think Minkah is got the ability to do more things. I think Denzel Ward, you put him at corner and you just let him play outside there. I think Minkah, he can play nickel, he can play safety. You can blitz him off the edge. He's just more of that Swiss Army knife type of guy. So I think, you know, they're two different guys. I think you probably put a little bit, you know, just a tick higher value on a Minkah Fitzpatrick, but Denzel Ward's going to be a great player at the next level.
Yeah, he should really pan out and really kind of help boost that secondary again, along with the free agent addition of Richard Sherman. We're here on the post-free agency 2018 NFL mock draft with the NFL guru himself, Justin Van Vulpen. If you folks miss any of these shows in their entirety, you simply type in iTunes or Blog Talk Radio, and you type in the College to Pro Players Platform Show or the 2018 NFL Draft Blast. These links will appear, and as always, we appreciate you joining us. We're off to the 10th pick of the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden hasn't made a pick in a long time. McKenzie's the main man, but I'm sure Gruden will have a lot of input. And this is input, and this has been a team that's kind of been decently active in free agency. But the guy that I think, and you mentioned him, and even though I like Raquan Smith more, I just love what he does. I think NFL talent evaluators would choose the Virginia Tech linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds, and he has that NFL DNA. So I'm going to give them Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, and that leaves my boy Raquan Smith still on the board. And this, Justin, I don't know where you're thinking, but this pick, I mean, I think you mentioned it before, but this could possibly be a Baker Mayfield selection here with the Finns. I don't want to influence the selection,
but I just don't know how shady this team is. We talked about it there. It could. But I think what they did with their contract of Ryan Tannehill, you know, be able to help free up some cap space, be able to take his base and move it as far as a signing bonus to prorate it, basically locks up Tannehill for 2 years basically to kind of be their starter there. So I don't think they're going to go quarterback, even though they could. You know, I mean, it's not impossible with his contract there. But I think with releasing Ndamukong Suh, I think Vita Vea, there is just a natural fit going, hey, we release Sue, we save $23 million, you know, with his salary there. You know, and yeah, we had to take some type of cap hit. But I think they're going to go in with the 11th pick, take Vita Vea, the defensive tackle from Washington, and really not miss a beat with that defensive line.
Yeah, that's a great replacement. Again, they're kind of thinking ahead, whereas, you know, Sue's not available, but bringing this big body, fearsome interior force. And, I mean, he was a force of Washington, and his stock's kind of just been going up, up, and up since, you know, he's left, you know, the Huskies, and it's kind of been on his path towards the 2018 draft. That leaves the Buffalo Bills, who moved up from the 21 spot, and they moved up to the Bengals' 12th spot. Now the Bills own it, and they moved up to get a quarterback. And probably on draft night, they might be even a little bit higher, but we don't have the means to know that as of yet, so we got to go the way the draft order presents itself. So with them needing a quarterback, the one guy that's left on the board is Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma quarterback. I love him personally. I love the grittiness. It goes against most of the things I don't like about quarterbacks in terms of a little bit immaturity and some of those childish quarterbacks should kind of be the father of the team. I don't think you want your younger brother or your best friend being the guy that you're looking up to. But, again, I think Mayfield has that moxie, that swagger, that it, that IT factor that kind of makes him a difference maker. So I think the Bills, even though they brought in A.J. McCarron for the, you know, two-year deal, I think this is their transition guy. Hopefully they want Baker Mayfield to kind of, you know, become that guy that kind of reminisces the glory days of Jim Kelly. But that leaves you now, Justin, with the 13th pick of the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, and the Redskins could go a lot of different ways here. You know, I think that they, you know, like the ability to, hey, we got to go get us another pass rusher to go with Ryan Kerrigan. You know, there we need some more as far as defensive help there. We've kind of got Alex Smith. We've gotten to be able to, you know, help our offense there, stabilize our quarterback position. So I think they go Marcus Davenport, the edge guy from University of Texas San Antonio, there to be able to help, you know, rush the passer there at the end of the day.
Nice. And, I was able to speak to him down at the Senior Bowl. And what a just a kind, humble kid. And I kept joking. I'm like, when does the maniac come out in you, Marcus? Because if you folks out there have seen this kid play, I mean, when he hits you, I mean, it is like a Mack truck coming at a bicycle. And I know that might not be the best way to put it, but, I mean, it's a fierce, fierce impact. And, I mean, he is just the nicest guy. I mean, it's just crazy. And he says at some point on Saturday morning as that thing kind of goes through some punching bags and that starts to come to fruition with him. But, Justin, that's a great pick. And, you know, the UTSA kid, San Antonio is going to make a first-round prospect. That's kind of big stuff for them, and he's a kid that's been rising as of late. And that leaves us with the Green Bay Packers, who made a few moves without Ted Thompson. Usually they're generally quiet on free agency, but they made some signings to kind of help bolster that lineup. I still think they need secondary help, so I'm looking at the board of the, you know, the Carltons from Auburn. I'm looking at Jackson from Iowa. These are some of the guys on my mind. I think these are the guys that kind of fall into play. Mike Hughes from UCF, I think he's another name that you kind of look at this point. Jair Alexander, the Louisville DB, another name that I think is possibly the guy that they look after. I know Josh Jackson did not have the best pro day or the combine. I know there were some doubts about what he was going to be able to do, but I think at the end of the day, these teams covet the tape that they've been watching over the years to kind of place them in this predicament. And I personally believe that they address that and they take Josh Jackson, the Iowa defensive back.
Yeah, and they're definitely they're looking as far as corners, you know, seeing it there. So, you know, that leads us to the Arizona Cardinals at 15. And obviously I think the Arizona Cardinals won't be at 15 when we get to 3 weeks from now. They've got to move up to get their quarterback, and maybe they move all the way up to number two to take Josh Rosen. There, but we will see. But if they don't, and they're still stuck at 15, I think they need a wide receiver. They need Larry Fitzgerald's getting older. This is the same pick I've had for the last three mock drafts at number 15. I'm going to go Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver there from Alabama, going at number 15 in the Arizona Cardinals.
Justin, you pulled the card in too quick. I was going to say if the Cards want to move up to the second selection. I held the rights to that Giants pick. If you would have made me some picks, and maybe I could have made the buck. But, you know, that clock, yeah. You can hand it in too fast. No,
I think they're going to move up, yeah. But like you said, we're not trading picks here.
Yeah, we can't do it. But again, and that's, I think, the fun thing. It's been a long time since – I mean, I love the draft. I love the offseason. I love free agency. But when I look at just draft, and there's just – I think there's so much excitement because, you know, you have all these teams jockeying, and we know, like – you know, there's still more jockeying to do, as you mentioned. You know, the Cardinals are in play. The Bills are still in play. I mean, who knows what other teams, you know, I mean, I didn't think anyone thought the Chiefs were to make the blockbuster deal they did last year, the move up to take Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, who knows what other sneaky team may be lying in the wake to kind of make their move on draft night. But again, Calvin Ridley, Alabama receiver, very talented, has kind of been the number one guy since he was eligible to be in this year's draft, and he's kind of held true to that. And, you know, and I believe you're right. That's a great addition for the Cardinals because they've lost their Browns due to free agency, and the only guy they left is the Hall of Famer and Larry Fitzgerald. But, again, they got to kind of replenish that thing. That leads us to the 16th pick, the Baltimore Ravens. A team in transition, I think Harbaugh does one of the best coaching jobs with very little compared to what he had when this team was at its Super Bowl, but they're still a very competitive team. I've had them taking Courtland Sutton for the longest time. I mean, I think every mock draft, as you joked around, I had them taking Sutton because I was always nervous that maybe you'd be taking my guy off the board. But with that said, I think they're going to go defense with this particular pick. And I think they're going to go with Waquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia. I think in terms of talent, he's phenomenal. He brings some life to that defense, and I think that's the way they go. And, Justin, and that leads you with the Chargers, and they just picked up the Pouncey kid, so that's got to be a nice addition for them. Maybe changes some draft things, but nonetheless, you're on the clock, my man.
I think Derwin James is the best player left on our board, you know, so I think the Los Angeles Chargers say, hey, helps us defensively. We've got that great front there with, Bosa and Ingram there. So let's go ahead and get us help on the back end. Derwin James could have gone a lot higher than 17th. So since he's still here, I think Derwin James is going to be the pick for the Los Angeles.
And think about how good he is, Derwin James, how versatile he is. I mean, you could probably find people to argue that he's better than Minkah Fitzpatrick. I mean, if you want to find the right people. And I don't even know if I would argue with that much. But just think, I mean, you know, Mika's at 7, and the Chargers are getting this type of guy at 17th in the first round. I mean, as you get, I just kind of think that adds to the depth of this particular draft. I think it's fascinating how some of the big-name guys, or at least these talented kids, are kind of on the board. That leads me to the Seattle Seahawks with the 18th selection. Again, a team trying not to regress from its Super Bowl days, trying to maintain its impact and being a contender on the NFC side of things. So they got their work cut out for them. I think that's fair to say. I think they go defense as well, or they go offensive line. And with that said, one of the guys I think is, on the board that should help them. And I know he had a very lousy combine, but he improved a little bit. But there was a reason why he was a top, prospect going in, and that's the tackle from Oklahoma in Orlando Brown. So I'm going to have them fortify the front with Orlando Brown from Oklahoma, Justin.
Yeah, and that kind of gets us to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think, they're in the same, predicament. They lost one of their linebackers to the Kansas City Chiefs there in free agency. And I've been practicing his name. I know in the last mock drafts we've been giving this player here. But I think Leighton Vander Esch, the linebacker from Boise State, I think is the 19th pick to the Dallas Cowboys. He's a riser, there in this process there at the combine there, and everybody liked him. And like I said, they lost the linebacker in free agency to the Chiefs. So they go ahead, and Sean Lee's not getting any younger. So they go ahead and help their linebacking core with a guy who can play inside, outside, very versatile, and just kind of a riser and tested very well at the linebacker position.
Man, that's a great pick. And I mean, the defense, a needy team. I think they're going to be doing cartwheels in their war room getting a guy of his caliber with the 19th overall selection. That leads us to the Detroit Lions. You know what? I know you've had him before. I don't know. I think somehow it got changed last time. But, even though they brought in LeGarrette Blount via free agency, I think LeGarrette's 31, and I don't think he's the end result of what they want to do in Matt Patricia's future at the running back position long term. I think they look at a guy like Darius Geis from LSU. I think he'll be the guy. I still think defensive line could still be a thing because I think there's some quality guys out there. Taven Bryan from Florida, I think, could be a guy that possibly would fit into that realm of guys they're looking at. But with that said, I think they go Darius Geis, with the 20th overall pick, Justin.
Yeah, and that brings us to the Cincinnati Bengals there. Because that's the pick that they traded, right? We're at Cincinnati, right?
Yep. Yes, sir.
So Cincinnati's there at 21. And basically, I think they go corner, Jair Alexander, the cornerback out of Louisville, who really helped himself there in Indianapolis, really showed his versatility, and I think, they Pac-Man Jones is no longer there, so they needed a corner. And you always need corners. And Jair Alexander, the cornerback from Louisville, goes to Cincinnati.
Nice, nice. And they need all the help they can get in Cincinnati. A team that's kind of in the funk. Not at the bottom of the barrel, but again, just kind of maybe close to being there or close to possibly one of the better teams in the NFL. Great pick. Again, the Louisville DB, Dwyer Alexander, off to the Cincinnati Bengals. That leaves me with the 22nd pick to the Buffalo Bills. I had them taking Baker Mayfield with the 12th selection via the Cincinnati Bengals in the trade. And now with the 22nd selection, and I've been mentioning his name countless times, it's the SMU receiver, Cortland Sutton. I have him going off the board. Zay Jones obviously had some issues over the weekend where he was arrested, so I don't think that leaves them sleep well, and he wasn't the impactful. He may be. Granted, I love his future as long as he can stay on the straight and narrow. Kevin Benjamin, I think he is what he is. I don't think there's a ceiling that he's going to be able to reach to become better. So I think they have to kind of add some pieces to this offense that they've kind of let go in Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods. And, again, I think Cortland Sutton is the 22nd pick from SMU to the Buffalo Bills. Justin, you're on the clock with the Los Angeles Rams.
And obviously the Rams, you know, have really done some work on their defense, you know, obviously with trades and different things like that. But they need some edge guys. And Harold Landry, the edge rusher from BC, you know, was the number one guy, you know, there. So I think, you know, Harold Landry goes to the Los Angeles Rams with that 23rd pick.
I love that pick. Man, that is a nice pick. And that's a great pick, too. And you kind of think of how they used Robert Quinn last year. I know they jettisoned him to the Dolphins, but kind of the same size and mold in terms of what you're looking at. A great addition to them. That leaves me with the 24th pick to the Carolina Panthers. This is a head-scratcher for me, Justin, because this team just makes me kind of think, they're just a bizarre team. They go about it in a weird way of kind of, you know, making it all work for them, and they're successful. So I can't argue the results. But, again, it's just sometimes some of the picks they make, you know, they do it right. I just don't understand it. But, obviously, they know what they're doing, and that's why they've had the success they have. I might be taking some people for a bit of a shock here, but I think he's deserving of it. I feel comfortable with this selection. I think they're going to go with Will Hernandez. I think he's been a fabulous talent since he arrived down in the Senior Bowl. Yeah, I think this guard, I think he's been, you know, the UTEP guard has been just a force to be reckoned with. I think he had some interior help without question to this team. So I'm going to have the UTEP guard from UTEP, Will Hernandez, go to the Panthers with the 24th pick, and that leaves you with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, and the Tennessee Titans, obviously they signed Deion Lewis. You know, they helped their running game there, you know. But I think, you know, so now do they add another running back? You know, do we see, you know, maybe as far as Sony Michel from Georgia go here? You know, do we see maybe they help as far as their linebacking core? I think Rashad Evans is a great linebacker here. And I think with the head coach that they, you know, selected there, he's an old linebacker, so they go ahead and say, hey, we want to build our defense up. And they say, take Rashad Evans, the linebacker from Alabama, who's versatile, who can play inside, outside, and really has kind of risen up through this draft process, through down there at the combine. So I think Rashad Evans, the linebacker from Alabama, goes to the Tennessee Titans at 25.
Oh, that's a great pick. And for you folks out listening, if you've been listening to Justin doing our mock draft, Deion Lewis was basically the prize-free agent of the Tennessee Titans, and Justin had them taking Ronald Jones all three mock drafts, or all the other two mock drafts that we did. He was convinced that running back was going to be a position that they would address, and nonetheless, they did it via free agency, or very likely Sony Michel or Ronald Jones or Nick Chubb or one of these backs. Darius Geis would have been the guy being selected 25th to the Titans, but I just want to give Justin a shout-out for having the foresight to kind of see and identify that Tennessee Titans. Nate, hey, man, you were calling it. I might as well give you some love for it. So, because you know the listeners out there, they're going to be – yeah, we'll go, every time we miss a pick, they'll be making fun of us. We know that. That'll go without saying. And that takes us to the Atlanta Falcons with the 26th pick of our post-free agency 2018 NFL mock draft. This team, I thought they would – I know, I mean, I, you can't – I mean, they went to the Super Bowl, heartbreaking. They made the playoffs, but – it just doesn't seem like this team was ever in tow. The offense never looked in gel for me. But I'm going to have them go Isaiah Wynn. I'm going to take another guard off the board. I think interior line is one of their things of need. And I think Wynn, arguably along with Will Hernandez, who I had going to the Panthers, I think these guys will definitely be first-round picks. Just depends on where they land. But I think these two teams that I've mentioned are qualifiers for their needs and their services. So I have the Falcons kind of fortifying the interior on the offensive side with the likes of another Georgia guy playing in Atlanta in Isaiah Wynn.
Yeah, and that gets us to 27, the New Orleans Saints. Now, I think this is going to depend on where Ndamukong Suh picks to play. And I know and the Saints are kind of in the mix there, you know, so they're looking for, you know, help in the interior defensive line. Let's say they don't sign Ndamukong Suh. So I think Maurice Hurst, who basically was cleared, you know, as far as the heart issue, you know, from the cardiologist from the University of Michigan and the University of Harvard, basically that medical staff, which they're top-notch, you know, medicines there in those schools. They've cleared him, said he's good, you know, to go. He's actually going to work out tomorrow at Michigan's Pro Day, and I think he'll test well, you know, do everything well. He's really helped himself from his junior year to his senior year. So I think the Saints, if they don't sign Ndamukong Suh, and we're saying that they don't at this time right now, so at this time right now, they take the defensive tackle from Michigan, Maurice Hurst.
I believe you said his name because I was like, well, I'm on the clock with the Steelers. What are some of the guys? I'm like, Hurst would be a great sneaky guy to bring back on the board. I actually circled his name. I had him circled. And then you're like, well, I was circling it. You can't make this up. You said Maurice Hurst. I'm like, wow, that was kind of bizarre. I know they don't need D-tackle help, but nonetheless, he's just such a fantastic talent. And prior to the heart thing, I mean, you know, everything cleared out now, but there was zero questions. I mean, this kid is a top talent. I mean, that kind of put things in flux. But now, like, you know, hopefully, I mean, you know, everything stays the course, and so glad that he was cleared. Hopefully he knocks that thing out tomorrow in Ann Arbor in front of these guys. They're going to be attending the Michigan Pro Day. That leaves me with the 28th selection of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They released basically half of their secondary and Mike Mitchell, Goldson, and William Gay. They bring in Morgan Burnett, the safety, but they still need DB help. I'm going to have them take Carlton Davis out of Auburn. He's a long, physical defensive back. I think they're in need defensively of big-time help. Hopefully this guy can kind of help shore up things with youngster Artie Burns and Sean Davis to kind of give some youth and some identity to a defense that kind of needs to rebound after they gave up 45 points to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs. So with that said, Carlton Davis, the Auburn DB, off of the 28th selection, and that leaves our NFL draft guru, Justin Van Vulpen, selecting 29th for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, and in Jacksonville, they signed Andrew Norwell, and that's what we were giving. We were giving Isaiah Wynn to them. You know, we knew that they had a need at the interior offensive line when we'd done our last couple of mock drafts. And since then, he's gone. Paul Plusdesny has retired. I think a linebacker, who I thought the Steelers were going to take would be Malik Jefferson, the linebacker out of Texas. And so since he's still on the board, and as far as that defense, and that defense just gets even better with Malik Jefferson there, that linebacking core with Taven Smith, the corners that they have, the defensive line that they have. But they, again, Paul Plusdesny retires. They replace him with Malik Jefferson, the linebacker out of Texas.
Oh, that's a great pick. I love the foresight. And that's a Texas standout, too, when that kid gets out. I love his athleticism. Leaves me 30 with the Minnesota Vikings. Justin, I might shock everyone with this particular selection, but I'm going to have him go with the Oklahoma State quarterback, Mason Roof. No, I'm joking. I just want to throw it. Make sure all the listeners out there are listening, and they're like, this guy is out of his mind. Now, I might have had a lot of people turn off. Maybe hopefully they'll tune back. Anyway, how bad can this guy pick, guys, so they'll keep tuned in? But with the Vikings, you know, they bring in Kirk Cousins, the prize free agent, so we know there should be, barring injury, no more issues at the quarterback position for that team for years to come. I think Connor Williams, the offensive lineman from Texas, another Texas kid, back-to-back in the first round, Jefferson, 29th to the Jags. Connor Williams, the O-tackle, from Texas with the 30th pick, and that leaves you with the 31st selection to the New England Patriots.
Well, the New England Patriots, what, you know, Bill Belichick, what did his sons play in college? They played lacrosse. What did he play in college? He played lacrosse. Bill Belichick was at the Ohio State Pro Day looking at a player who used to play lacrosse and was a lacrosse commit to Notre Dame. The player I'm talking about is Sam Hubbard, the Ohio State defensive end, a former lacrosse player. We know as far as the love that Bill Belichick and his sons, who are on his staff, have for lacrosse players. They need an edge guy. I think it's just too, and he's a, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's just too good of a fit, you know. So I got to go with Sam Hubbard, from the defensive end from Ohio State, you know, and it probably's not going to happen, but that's the mock draft for the New England Patriots.
Dude, I love it. And I love how you gave the insight to it as well. I mean, you sold everybody, and everybody was like, who is he going to say? Because none of us knew all the background on the lacrosse. That's great stuff. Sam Hubbard, Ohio State. And I love Sam Hubbard. I mean, when I think of that defensive line, I mean, you know, I mean, with Lewis and Jalen and him, I mean, that was a hell of a force they had. That leaves me with the final pick out of our final selection of the post free agency draft. And that goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think they brought in Mike Wallace tonight. So that kind of had some receiver help with them. That was kind of a surprise. What did you think of that signing?
Well, I mean, that's something that obviously they cut Torrey Smith, you know, and so it's basically kind of a wash there. You know, Mike Wallace is a guy who can, you know, take the top off of defense. We saw what he did there at Pittsburgh. So, I mean, again, he's right there, you know, be able to take the, you know, the top off the defenses, and they want to keep rolling and giving, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, weapons.
Yeah, I was surprised, not surprised, but I was like, man, that's just a great move. And I just think that shows the mentality. Howie Rosen, I mean, this team just wants to go after. They're not pulling any punches. I mean, they're going to kind of go get it, and, you know, they're not going to wait for anything to come, you know, or pass them by. They're going to grab it. And with that said, a guy that I think's really, really happy to go to a Super Bowl defending team with the likes of his own talent, because I really believe he'll probably be taken between 20 and maybe 25, is Taven Brown, the Florida D tackle. It might not necessarily be a need for them, but again, his type of talent, you just can't pass up, especially when you're Super Bowl champs. You afford a little bit of a luxury to take the best guy on the board. And in my mind, he is definitely the best guy on the board with this team with 31 other selections. So they address the defense, not that they have to because they're phenomenal up there. But as we know, guys get hurt, guys step up. Sometimes the guys you have don't pan out. And that leaves us with Taven Bryan, Florida, going with the last pick.
I think that's a great selection, and he might go higher and different things like that. But if you look at their signings, they signed, you know, Haloti Ngata, but, you know, basically it was a one-year deal for Haloti Ngata, and he could basically let Haloti play, and, you know, Taven Bryan can still develop and still get better, you know. So if they're fortunate enough to select him, you know, I if he's still there, I could see them selecting him, and, you know, you basically, you know, would be, you know, Miss Cleo of the mock draft world.
Awesome stuff. Justin, you are the absolute best. And for you folks out there listening, if you're excited about this, you're excited about what we brought to you tonight, don't tune away. We're going to be coming right back with the 2019 Top 32 Prospects by none other than Justin Van Vulpen. I have no input on these. This is his work. This is what he does best behind the scenes. This guy is very, very fluent in terms of teams, agents, and finding guys and helping these guys find futures in the NFL. And he's going to share with us the top 32 picks in his opinion as of today, 2019 NFL draft. So we don't want you to miss that. As always, Justin, we appreciate you joining us. You bring so much to this program. You're just dear to us, and I love what you have and what you offer us. But hey, man, we're going to be talking soon. As always, we appreciate you coming on, my man.
Yep, we'll talk soon, bro.
Once again, the 2018 NFL Mock Draft post-free agency. Kind enough to be joined here with Justin Van Vulpen.
This has been a College2Pro.com exclusive.